This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, January 4th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. As always, I have a lot to do today. We're going to start with the one bowl game from last night. And again, I think it's great when the number 11 team in the country, Virginia Tech, plays the number 13 team in the country, Michigan. But when it's not within the context of a playoff of a NCAA tournament, not necessarily, again, a March Madness 64 teams, but this would be a great game if it was within the context of an 18-team tournament or a 16-team tournament or even an 8-team tournament if they could get in. Having said that, a very exciting game, down to the wire, into overtime. The interesting thing to me was to see how Virginia Tech contained Denard Robinson, one of the best rushing quarterbacks in the country, a very exciting player. He can throw it too, but Virginia Tech did an unbelievable job of Michigan. If I told you before the game that Robinson was going to be 9 for 21 for 117 yards, and even more important from an offensive point of view for Michigan, that he was going to rush 13 times and just get 13 yards. I mean, here's a guy who routinely put up 400 yards or more at times over the last two seasons, you would have thought that Virginia Tech would have won easily. But in reality, Michigan got out to a 17-6 lead. Virginia Tech comes all the way back to tie at 17 late in the game. Brandon Givens gives the field goal kicker for Michigan, gives them the lead 20-17 with a field goal late in the game with just 4 minutes left in the game. But Michigan comes back to Vatek comes back down the field, and Justin Meyer, the third string kicker, we'll talk about him in a minute in more detail, he kicks a 25-yard field goal with 2 seconds left in regulation to force overtime, 20-20 after regulation. Unfortunately for Meyer, who up to that point would have been the star of the game had had Vatek won, he misses a 37-yard field goal in overtime. And then Brandon Givens comes back and kicks a 37-yard field goal for Michigan in their overtime. Final score, Michigan 23, Vatek 20. The reason I focused on Justin Meyer briefly is he's the third-string field goal kicker for Virginia Tech, but the first two guys were both suspended for various violations. One guy had been arrested for breaking and entering. Another guy had missed a team curfew. So they were down to their third-string kicker. But during the game, Meyer kicked field goals of 37, 43, 36, and then, as we said, with 2 seconds left, a 25-yard field goal to tie up the game. He was the star. In fact, the 43-yard field goal that he kicked was the longest field goal that Virginia Tech had kicked all season. But again, he missed in overtime, didn't miss by a lot, but he missed. So he goes 4 for 5, but it's not good enough. But I think a pretty gutty performance by this kid. You feel bad for him that he missed and they lost because of that, or they had a chance, Michigan had a chance to win because of that miss. But he still had a terrific game, 4 for 5 in field goals. He is their kickoff guy as well. But Michigan 23, Virginia Tech 20, the offensive star of the game, given the offensive MVP of the game for Michigan, was their wide receiver who made two great catches, Junior Hemingway. He only had 2 catches for 63 yards, but they were both touchdown catches, and he really was the star of the game. He made one in the back of an end zone, pretty much one hand, dragged it down, kept his foot in bounds. You only have to keep one in bounds in college, as you know. So he really was the star. Robinson did not have a good game. Give Virginia Tech a lot of credit for that. But Michigan 23, Virginia Tech 20. Hemingway's 2 catches are the key to the game. Of course, Givens' field goal in overtime wins it. Logan Thomas, a pretty good quarterback for Virginia Tech. He goes 19 for 28, 214 yards. No touchdowns, one pick. Also 16 rushes for 53 yards. David Wilson of Virginia Tech, 24 rushes for 82 yards. And again, offensively, other than the two touchdown passes from Robinson, they had no running game. I mean, they rushed for 56 yards as a team. They only threw for 128 yards. Just amazing to me that Virginia Tech loses this game after what they were able to do to stop Michigan's offense. But final, Michigan 23, Virginia Tech 20. Again, in the perfect world, you'd like them to go on to next week. Or if you could have an 8 or 16 team playoff, you could have started this 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know, very few people nowadays, it's been going on for decades, of course, but very few people nowadays talk about the absurdity of having the college season end Thanksgiving weekend, maybe the first week in December, and then you wait 4 or 5 or even 6 weeks to play your next game. It's like a whole other season. It's just bizarre. That's always been the way it is. You know, I guess they'll tell you, well, there's exams, there's Christmas break. That doesn't seem to stop basketball or other sports, but whatever. Again, when you have a game that ends like this, an exciting game, an overtime game between two, you know, Michigan has a good chance to be a top 10 team now. And given where they've been the last few years, that's a great accomplishment. But now their season is over. So in D1 football, and like any other football, you know, D2 and D3, they have playoffs. I know the bowl people are very powerful. It's very political. Everybody makes a lot of money. They're afraid the bowls will be cheapened. Well, the bowls have already been cheapened. I mean, if you have a 500 record, you can go to a bowl game. What does that tell you? So, again, an excellent game, an excellent win for Michigan. Virginia Tech, the ACC, they have a lot of trouble in these BCS bowl games. They just don't do well. Frank Beamer, who is the winningest active coach now with Paterno's firing. Beamer has 251 wins, the Vatek coach. But he really can't get it done in bowl games. Virginia Tech has not been good. The ACC has not been good. And again, the ACC has been down as a conference for the last few years. Clearly, the SEC head and shoulders over everybody. And it's been that way for a few years now. When you have Saban at Alabama, Les Miles at LSU, frankly, what do you expect? And I don't think that's going to change. Now, Urban Meyer goes to Ohio State. You know what happened with Ohio State. Tressel had to resign. They had that whole tattoo parlor incident. They lost 7 times this year for the first time since 1897, which means they went the whole 20th century never losing 7 games. But now Urban Meyer comes to town, Ohio State, Ohio native. You know he's going to turn it around. The question really is how long will it take for him to turn it around. Hard to believe he's going to get them into a BCS bowl next year. But with this guy, you never know. And certainly within 2 years, he should have them right back where you expect Ohio State to be. I just wish the powers that be would consider and see how much better it would be if you could win or lose a national championship on the field. And this year's a good example as well. LSU and Alabama, this game last night, Michigan-Vatek was at the Superdome in New Orleans, 64,000 there. Actually viewed to be a warm-up, frankly, for Alabama-LSU next Monday. And rightfully so. But Alabama-LSU in and of itself, we've been through this before, LSU beats Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And deservedly, they're undefeated and number one and should be. Alabama probably is the second-best team in the country, but again, what if they win by a point over LSU? Why are they the national champions? It just doesn't make sense. In fact, if Alabama beat LSU, they should come back and play the next week, like in the Rose Bowl or somewhere in California at a neutral field, to see who the real champion is. But this is what happens when you have the power of the bowl games, the inability to have a playoff, even a four-team playoff. We talked about it yesterday. Even a four-team playoff. I would have put Oregon fourth, not Stanford. But you could have had LSU play Oregon. Now, they did play early in the year, but they played at LSU, and LSU beat Oregon. So you could play at a neutral site and see who would win. I assume it would be LSU. Then you could have Alabama play Oklahoma State, which I think would have been a game. You would still like Alabama, but at least then you wouldn't have the complainers, and I'll include myself in that group of complainers, saying, well, this is a joke. If LSU beat Alabama in Alabama, how can Alabama be the champ if they come back and beat LSU? So I totally agree with that thought process. You'd love to see a playoff. If this kind of thing happened in the playoff, it would at least be in the playoff, four teams, eight teams. Don't think you could go more than that. I'll say it again, lop off one game off the regular season, and then everybody but the final two teams in the country will only play one more game. Those two teams will play two more games and be happy to, because they'll be playing for the real national championship on the field, not a computer-generated off the field. Now, if LSU beats Alabama, again, clearly they're the best team in the country and deserve to be number one, and rightfully so. But if they lose, I'm not so sure they deserve not to be number one. Again, it's a very tough problem when you don't have it decided on the field. And I don't care what anyone says, this is not being decided on the field unless LSU wins. But if Alabama wins, even if Alabama wins easily, LSU beat Alabama in Alabama. And as you know, home field means an awful lot in college football. We're going to switch now to the NFL. Lots going on, as always, not just playoffs, but following Black Monday. San Diego has now decided to keep North Turner, their coach, and A.J. Smith. Dean Spanos, the owner, gave a press conference, you know, and he said, these are the guys who can turn it around. We don't quite understand that. Where I'm sitting for the last 4 years, you know, San Diego's been terrible the last 3 years. Turner's been there 6 years. But they can't even make the playoffs, and they've got a bomb squad. So a lot of people think it's Turner's fault or A.J. Smith's fault, but he's getting they're both getting at least another year. You know, they're in a not very good division that is getting better now. Oakland, Carson Palmer comes back next year with a full, you know, he'll be there for a training camp in the full season. Denver has a very good defense. You don't know what's happening with Tebow, but they're certainly a team to be reckoned with. Kansas City played out of their mind for Romeo Crennel. Beat the Packers, the only team to beat the Packers. So if Crennel wants the job, you got to assume it's his. Crennel was that great defensive coordinator in New England for their 3 Super Bowl championship run. Was not a good head coach his first time around. Will be better his second time around. And look, it's all about having guys. It's not just X's and O's, although he's great. I mean, he shut down the Packers. He's great X's and O's defensively, but it's about wanting to play for your coach. Clearly, Todd Haley had alienated a lot of players there. I'm sure that's one of the reasons he got fired, maybe the main reason. But they really wanted to play for Crennel. They did well, 2-1. They could have been 3-0. Seymour blocked a field goal for the Raiders. That could have been another Kansas City win. So that's a strange division. No Packers in that division. No Patriots in that division. But now a 4-team division that's going to be a fight. And I just don't know. San Diego, you'll say next year they have the most talent in that division. You pick them to win it every year. But now you got to wonder. And they had Turner and Smith getting another year. The rumor in New York was they were hoping North Turner got fired because the Jets are either going to, they're hoping Brian Schottenheimer, their offensive coordinator, gets a head coaching job. He's going to interview for the Jaguar job. But they might wind up firing him even if they don't. And people in New York were hoping North Turner would get fired and then come to New York and be Rex Ryan's offensive coordinator. Now, I don't think that was ever going to happen. You'll recall what Rex Ryan said. If he had North Turner's charges, he would have had 2 Super Bowl rings by now. And look, Rex Ryan's a lot closer to a buffoon now than ever before. I'm going to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to win the Super Bowl. I don't even make the playoffs. I go 8-8. So I don't think that was going to happen even if Turner did get fired. But, hey, you never know. You never know. Chicago, while they did announce they're keeping Lovie Smith, who'll be back for his 9th season, they get rid of Jerry Angelo, who had been the GM for 11 seasons, a well-respected guy. You know, got Jay Cutler to Chicago. They also, while they didn't fire Mike Martz, they said it was a mutual parting of the ways. Apparently, Martz and Lovie Smith didn't see eye to eye. Now, Martz's offense is very difficult to run. It's a great offense if you can run it. I don't know that they ever really had the personnel there to run it. And, you know, Mike Martz is like the mad scientist. Doesn't really, to me anyway, fit into what you view to be Chicago Bears football. you know, going back to the 80s and even before, going back to the 60s with Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus at middle linebacker, then with Walter Payton and Singletary at middle linebacker, you know, to nowadays with, if he's healthy, Matt Forte and Urlacher, if he's now healthy, because he's got bad knee problems now. So, Martz, maybe it wasn't the best fit. He's gone. Contract ended. No renewal. Mutual parting of the ways, they're calling it. But Lovie Smith survives. Down in Philly, Andy Reid survives. He's the longest tenured coach, 13 years, 9 playoff appearances with the Eagles. You know the Eagles are going to be real good. I think they'll be the favorites next year to win the NFC East. I'll say it again. If you told me 9-7 was going to win the NFC East before, I would have fainted. I thought the Eagles and the Cowboys could both win more than 9 games, and even the Giants, I thought they were a 9 or 10 win team, but I didn't even think they'd make the playoffs, frankly. But Andy Reid's coming back next year for his 14th season with the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll do some more NFL after this break. Of course, we'll get to the NBA and the NHL as well. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right?
Hands in.
Palm slots pay less.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty.
warranty, the same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
NHL Weekly, Monday nights at 6 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few more NFL notes. Some interesting stuff going on in the NFL. If you know about Ryan Clark of the Steelers, a pretty good player, he's got that sickle cell trait. He's been unable to play in Denver for years. A few years back, he played in Denver, had to be hospitalized. But Mike Tomlin announced yesterday that Clark would not play for the Steelers in Denver against the Broncos. And again, the Steelers have some, you know, Mendenhall done for the playoffs. Ryan Clark will not play in this game. Big Ben has a bad ankle. You know, he'll give it a go, but he was not very good the last time he played. He has that high ankle sprain, which, of course, is a very difficult injury to play with, to be mobile, to put weight on. But Ryan Clark will not play in this game, and you know, you got to respect the Steelers and Mike Tomlin. He said they're going to err on the side of caution. Ryan Clark will not play, and given the fact that he had such problems there in the past because of the high altitude, apparently if you have this sickle cell anemia trait, it's very hard for you to play or be, you know, do physical activities in the high altitude, which of course is what Denver is. So he will not play in that game. And again, you don't expect that Tim Tebow will be able to score any points against the Steelers defense, easily the best defense he's faced this year. And I give Romeo Crennel a lot of credit, as we talked about, great defensive coach. Kansas City beat Denver last week 7-3. But Denver makes the playoffs, wins their division at 8-8. Again, mediocrity reigns supreme sometimes in the NFL. You still have to like the Steelers. Somehow they're going to find a way, even though they're on the road. I'm sure they'll be favored. But Ryan Clark will not be playing. The other big story now is, since Indianapolis is locked into that number one pick, they fired Bill Polian and his son, the GM. Are they going to take Andrew Luck? Again, Peyton Manning has had three neck surgeries in the last 18 months. The consensus seems to be that they're going to cut Peyton Manning rather than pay him all that money, although Irsay says, I've paid these guys tons of money forever. I'll do whatever's best for the team. But I think it is a true statement that Peyton Manning is the past, maybe the present for a year or two, if he's healthy. A big if right now. I think Manning wanted to come back and play because he wanted to show these guys that he was healthy. And if he was healthy and had, say, three or four more good years, they wouldn't take Luck. Rather, they'd trade the draft pick and get a bunch of players who can help Peyton Manning win next year. But right now, that's still an open issue. Again, this isn't a bad knee or a bad ankle or a bad hip. This is a neck. Not a concussion, but a neck injury is also very bizarre, frankly. Hard to tell whether those nerve endings are regenerating. You hear about this all the time. They're regenerating, but they're not regenerating quick enough or whatever. So I think they're going to have to draft Andrew Luck. Apparently, the reports are now that Polian was kind of loyal to Manning, didn't necessarily want to draft Luck. Clearly, Irsay wants his quarterback for the next 10 or 12 years, not the next two or three. So it looks like right now, and you have to see who Irsay is going to hire as GM. because he doesn't have one right now. And you'll have to see what Peyton Manning's reaction to all this is going to be. But right now it looks like the Indianapolis Colts, with the number one draft pick, will take Andrew Luck. Luck, of course, lost the other night to Oklahoma State and, you know, was very disappointed, but obviously looking for the next challenge in his career, blah, blah, blah. But the real interesting thing to me, you know, he said the old, oh, I don't care where I go, I'm happy just to be in the league. But, you know, I got to say, it might not be bad for him to be mentored by Manning for a year or even two, although you are seeing some guys come in and make noise right away. You know, Cam Newton, who people weren't even sure could pass in the NFL, just broke the rookie record for passing. So if Andrew Luck sees that, he's probably thinking, man, I can go in and play right away. And you don't have that stability. Tony Dungy left a few years ago. Caldwell might get fired. Polian was there 14 seasons. He's gone. You don't have that stability. I mean, Indianapolis' defense was horrible this year. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Would they have been better with Peyton Manning there? Yeah, of course they would have been. Because Manning would have had the offense on the field more, obviously. But are they a Super Bowl team if Manning comes back healthy? And if he doesn't come back healthy, even with Andrew Luck, you can't believe they're a Super Bowl team. I'm not sure they are with Peyton Manning. Again, they're going to have to shore up their defense. They have a lot of other stuff to do besides deal with their quarterback issue. A few other things going on now. Detroit goes into New Orleans. Obviously, they wanted to beat the Packers to play the Giants instead of playing New Orleans. That's a bad draw for the Lions or anybody. Nobody's going into New Orleans this year with a real chance of winning. You know, do the Lions have a puncher's chance? I guess so. But New Orleans, 8-0 at home. They beat four playoff teams at home. They won by an average of 23 points per game. They're coming in with an 8-game winning streak. They've outscored their opponents 132-53 in the last three games. Drew Brees, of course, shattered Dan Marino's passing record. Can you beat New Orleans? I think you can, but not in New Orleans you can't. And don't forget last year when Seattle at 7-9 won their division, what a joke that was. But they got a home game last year against New Orleans and beat New Orleans up in Seattle, which was still a stunning upset. I don't care if Seattle was at home or not. But again, this is what you have in the National Football League. We talked about it yesterday. 7-9 Seattle gets a home playoff game? I mean, come on. It just strikes me as absurd. 8-8 Denver this year gets a home playoff game. But again, that's the way it is when you follow the money and you want to have more interest in more teams to maybe get a playoff berth. You could be 4-8 like the Eagles and have a chance to make the playoffs. You can be 8-5. You can be 1-4 like Denver, then 8-5, lose your last three and make the playoffs. Personally, I think that's wrong, but I understand why it's there. And again, it's all about the money and the excitement and keeping teams alive and trying to get to 8-8 or 9-7. Last year, 7-9 for Seattle. Just terrible what's happened to me. But again, that's the system there is now. One other thing, Jerry Jones essentially announcing that he's not going to fire Jason Garrett. You know, Jerry Jones is the GM of the team. He's the owner of the team. It's his world, but they've been bad for a long time. Or they've been okay or bad for a long time. The Dallas Cowboys, no longer America's team, nor have they been for some time. The Dallas Cowboys with one playoff win in the last 15 seasons. Think about that. One playoff win. He could build that billion-dollar stadium, but they seem to lose every big game. They seem to lose every big game, this time twice to the Giants. Had they won either game, they'd be going with a glorious 9-7 record. And again, the joke is now the Giants have a home game. Atlanta comes into the Meadowlands. The Giants have a very good chance to win that game. Their defensive line got healthy. OCU Manure is back. Justin Tuck is healthy. If they can rush the passer, they're a very good defense. If they can't rush the passer, they're not. Do they have a chance to beat Green Bay and Green Bay? Yeah, they do. Will they? I don't think so, but they're the NFC East champions, albeit at 9-7. I think I picked them to be 9-7 and missed the playoffs. So it shows you what I know. 9-7 in the playoffs strikes me also. Forget 8-8 or 7-9. That's a joke. But even 9-7, you'd like to see in a 16-game season, you'd like to see, you know, maybe the rule should be, oh, yeah, got to win 10 games to make the playoffs. Of course, that'll never happen. But that's where we are now. I certainly think the Giants' home team favorite can beat Atlanta. The four games this weekend, we'll talk more about them tomorrow and Friday. Six-seeded Bengals at the number three Texans. That's Saturday at 4:30. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, the Lions go down to New Orleans to play the Saints. Again, I think you have to love the Saints. They're just unbeatable at home. Sunday at 1, Atlanta comes up to the Giants, even though, again, Atlanta has a better record. The Giants won their division. They get the home game. But the Giants, to me, are playing very well, and they're a sleeper team. They can cause some damage. It's a bit reminiscent of when they went to the Super Bowl. They won their three road games and then shocked the world by shocking the Patriots, the then undefeated Patriots. And then Sunday at 4:30, an interesting game to me. I think the Steelers are going to win, but the number five Steelers at the number four Broncos. Again, the Broncos at 8-8 have the worst record in the playoffs, but get a home game because they won their division. And that was a bizarre division with the Chiefs and the Chargers blowing up again. The Raiders. You know, those are four pretty good teams. I think that's going to be a very good conference next year, a very good division, I should say. But this year, it's the Steelers going into Denver to play the Denver Broncos. I'm sure the Steelers will be favored. Again, we'll get into those games in more detail in the next couple of days. But as always, it'll be an exciting run to the playoffs, to the Super Bowl. And we'll keep an eye, of course, on all of that every day right here on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Want to switch now to the NBA. Yes, it's early in the season, but Andrew Bynum, you know, you shouldn't have worried about the Lakers early on because Bynum was serving that four-game suspension. You remember he knocked over J.J. Barea last year in the playoffs and got, I think, a five-game suspension, but they lost. They got swept by the Mavericks, so Bynum had to miss the first four games. And his three games back, he's averaging 19 points, 17 rebounds. Last night against Houston, 21 points, 22 rebounds, three blocks for Andrew Bynum. He is that big man that you need, and he's getting better all the time. Again, very few big men in the NBA. You know, Dwight Howard's very good. The Knicks got one now, and Tyson Chandler, obviously defense-oriented. Andrew Bynum, there aren't a bunch of them. But Bynum's still young, but experienced. Kobe, of course, goes for 37 points in 37 minutes. He's playing with a passion still. 37 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, only 2 turnovers. The Lakers looking more like the Lakers, not going to give up Los Angeles to the Clippers that easily. Gasol with 14, Blake off the bench with 11. Kyle Lowry had 22 for Houston. Luis Scola had 20. And, you know, Kyle Lowry, the kid out of Villanova, he's a pretty good pro now. You know, you fall asleep on him if you're from the East because he's playing in Houston. But yesterday, Lowry, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. Obviously just missing a triple-double. But the Lakers beat the Rockets 108-99. Now the Lakers are over 500 at 4-3. Again, people were worried, but until you have your full team, I don't really think, and you know, you really need 15, 20 games to get a sense of what's going on. But I don't think you have to worry about the Lakers. Can they go all the way to the NBA Finals? Well, that remains to be seen. I think Dallas has weakened themselves tremendously, as we've talked about. I thought the reason they won the NBA title as opposed to contending for the NBA title was really Tyson Chandler and the defense he brought and the J.J. Barea and the matchup problems he caused, and both of them are gone. So I don't think it's going to be Dallas, although Dallas did spank Oklahoma City. A lot of people view Oklahoma City to be the now team. Russell Westbrook's still immature to me, but we'll have to see. But I think the Lakers definitely will be in the mix. If Bynum becomes a force, you can go Kobe, Bynum, Gasol. That can certainly be an NBA Finals team. We'll have to see what happens. A few other interesting games last night that I want to focus on. Portland, and again, Portland way out west, doesn't get a lot of national pub, but they've got a pretty good team up there. You know, this LaMarcus Aldridge is an all-star. I think he got jobbed out of the all-star team last year. But, you know, they've done some other things. They brought Felton in to play the point. They have Matthews and Wallace, Marcus Camby, I mean, they got a pretty good squad. They signed Jamal Crawford to come in off the bench. And once he gets going, he's going to be very, you know, sixth man of the year type of guy. Yesterday, they beat Oklahoma City in Oklahoma City. Portland 103, Oklahoma City 93. Tough game for Kevin Durant, 8 for 26 from the floor, 19 points. Westbrook with 22, Harden off the bench with 23. Obviously, that three-guard set, Harden, Westbrook, Durant, very tough. Perkins is a guy who's supposed to really help them, came over from the Celtics last season, has lost a lot of weight. He's going to have to pick it up for them. He's supposed to be their big guy defensively. He had 6 rebounds, 7 points. But Portland, again, very good team. Aldridge, 30 points, 8 rebounds. Matthews, 16 points, 6 rebounds. Wallace, 13 and 10. Felton, 12 points, 7 assists. Again, they have a nice team. I think you're going to hear from Portland. They certainly think they're a playoff team. They beat Oklahoma City in Oklahoma City. Portland 103, Oklahoma City 93. Portland now 4-1, Oklahoma City now 5-2. We'll finish up with the NBA. We'll do some NHL and some other stuff, even a little baseball when we come back. This is Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at supplylineelectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. One more NBA game. We'll go over the scores, but one game I wanted to talk about, a fascinating game in Chicago. Atlanta, a pretty good team, goes into Chicago. They hold Chicago to 42 points in the first three quarters. I think it was an Elias Sports Bureau thing. It's the lowest three-quarter point total since the shot clock was installed, which I think happened in the late 50s. 42 points through three. But despite being down 13 after three, they storm all the way back. They score 34 points in the fourth quarter after scoring only 42 in the first three. Derrick Rose, the MVP, of course, goes off. He finishes with 30, but the 17 in the fourth quarter. But the final play of the game, they double Rose, and that leaves Lou Aldang open for a layup with 3.7 seconds left. That's the winning basket. Chicago 76, Atlanta 74. Rose has 30, Dang has 21. Chicago shot 2 for 21 in the second quarter. They scored 11 points. But they win the game, and maybe that's a sign, because Chicago last year in the playoffs, obviously, if you watch them, they were Derrick Rose and nobody else. Can Dang step up? They've got Boozer, a very good player. Joakim Noah, a very good player. But who's like the big guy who's going to come in and score? They have Kyle Korver to come off the bench. Yesterday, again, Rose 30, Dang 21, Boozer 11, and 9 rebounds. Bulls 76, Hawks 74 early on, Chicago 5-1, Atlanta 4-2. Horford the leading scorer for Atlanta, 16.7 rebounds. Smith 15 points, 14 rebounds. Williams 14 points, 8 rebounds. Joe Johnson, who I love, a quiet superstar, had a bad game, 10 points on 3 for 17 shooting, but he's a big-time player. Bulls 76, Hawks 74. A few other games just to mention the scores. Grizzlies bury the Kings, 113-96. Rudy Gay has 23. Cavaliers beat the Bobcats, 115-101. Kyrie Irving, who certainly looks like he belongs, the number one pick overall for the Cavaliers, has 20. And the Jazz beat the Bucks in Utah, 85-73. Al Jefferson, 26-10 for the now 3-3 Utah Jazz. One thing about the Sacramento Kings, that game, DeMarcus Cousins, who is a talented problem, frankly, was suspended for a game for a, quote, lack of commitment, close quote. There's rumors he's going to the Nets. You know, the Nets have their own problems. They thought they could get Dwight Howard with Brooke Lopez and a couple of draft picks. Then Lopez hurt his foot. He's out for a long time. Now they're maybe getting DeMarcus. They're trying to get DeMarcus Cousins, who you got to think the Kings want to get rid of. Depending on for what, of course. So Cousins didn't play last game, played yesterday, had a terrible game. The Grizzlies did beat Sacramento 113-96. Marc Gasol with a double-double and Gay with 23, as we said. I think Cousins obviously isn't long for Sacramento. Will he help the Nets? Well, you know, Avery Johnson might be able to get something out of him, but they do. He does, frankly, have an attitude problem. And, again, that's no surprise if you follow the league, DeMarcus Cousins. Talented guy, though. Talented guy. Want to switch now? One baseball note that's pretty interesting. Joe Torre, who took that job working for Bud Selig this year, is pretty much a troubleshooter. Has resigned his position with Major League Baseball because he is going to be part of a group that's going to bid on the L.A. Dodgers. There's apparently a real estate group out there with a lot of money who wants to buy the Dodgers. Obviously, you need a face. What better face than Joe Torre, who managed the Dodgers for 3 years prior to resigning, and Don Mattingly managed them in 2011. Not a bad team. They've got some good talent. They do need new ownership, obviously, but Torre will be the face of that group, and you got to think he's going to be give them a leg up in any negotiations. Now, all this is being done through the bankruptcy court, so while he is the face on the group, it's really about the group and their financials and their financial status. All things being equal, you got to think Major League Baseball is going to push and or recommend the Joe Torre group to buy the Dodgers, and then Torre will have some kind of presidential position, I would guess. But his man, Don Mattingly, is in there as a manager. By all accounts, did a pretty good job in his first managerial job. The Dodgers, not a good team with some talent, hovered around 500 the whole year, were really down in the dumps early and went on a big winning streak to get to and above 500, and then, of course, kind of flattened out late in the season. But, again, you have to think Joe Torre, a Brooklyn guy, you know, wedded to the New York Yankees forever. He'll go in as a Hall of Fame manager of the New York Yankees. Now making a lot of noise on the West Coast, managed the Dodgers for 3 years, and now resigning his position with Major League Baseball to be part of a group that's going to bid for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And again, that whole bidding process will be done through the bankruptcy court because of all of Frank McCourt's issues as owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Want to get to a few college basketball games yesterday. Yes, it's early in college basketball, but if you follow the Big East, you know Seton Hall has kind of been down. You know, for these local teams like St. John's and the local to the tri-state area in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, teams like Seton Hall, St. John's, even going up to Rhode Island, Providence, those kinds of teams who were core teams, Villanova, they've been okay to good over the last few years. But really, there have been other teams that have come in. Syracuse, of course, always a power for Jim Boeheim. But Louisville for Rick Pitino and those kinds of teams. UConn, of course, always a power for Calhoun. But Seton Hall, Rutgers, another team that's kind of in there, but not really. Seton Hall yesterday sent a statement after getting hammered by Syracuse. Seton Hall beats number 8 UConn 75-63. Now, Seton Hall has a new coach, second-year coach Kevin Willard, whose father, Ralph Willard, was an excellent coach for a number of years, still an assistant with Coach Pitino down in Louisville. But Kevin Willard, who did well at Iona College for 3 years in the New York area and certainly has good recruiting ties in the tri-state area, he's now in his second year as Seton Hall coach. They weren't very good last year. They did have a few big wins over some good teams. But yesterday, Seton Hall with a big win over number 8 UConn. They go to 13-2. Jordan Theodore, 19 points all in the second half, 11 assists as well. Seton Hall up 13 in the half, never looked back. UConn, of course, they play kind of a home schedule. This is only their second true road game of the year. Jim Calhoun not coaching yesterday. George Blaney took over the job because of that suspension from last year, you'll recall, for Calhoun. So Seton Hall with a big win, 75, UConn 63, obviously a Big East win and an important early game for a team like Seton Hall. A few other games not as exciting. Number 6, Missouri goes to 14-0 for Coach Frank Haith. Missouri buries Oklahoma. Oklahoma not very good this year. Missouri 87, Oklahoma 49. Kim English with 23 for Missouri. They're a very good team. Marcus Denman, a very good player, had 20 for Missouri. Again, they're ranked 6th in the country. They're 14-0. Number 2, Kentucky buries Arkansas Little Rock at Kentucky, although Arkansas Little Rock was up early. Kentucky 73. Arkansas Little Rock 51. Anthony Davis, who's a monster if you get to see him play, 22 points, 16 rebounds for Kentucky. Darius Miller, a very good player as well, scored his 1,000th point for Kentucky. Chuck Guy had 19 for Arkansas Little Rock. A few other games. A very interesting game because of the conclusion. If you saw it, Michigan State at Wisconsin. Michigan State started 0-2 with losses to North Carolina and Duke. You know, Izzo is the opposite of UConn. He plays an incredibly tough schedule. He thinks it gets you tournament tough. So after those losses to North Carolina and Duke, Michigan State ran off 13 wins in a row. So they're 13-2. They go on the road to Wisconsin. Bo Ryan, an excellent coach at Wisconsin. Interestingly, during the game, the Michigan State bench was given a technical foul for foul language, and Izzo swears and yelled at the refs but couldn't convince them that the cursing had come from behind the bench, from up in the stands, that obviously Michigan State couldn't control that. Nevertheless, there was a two-shot technical. Wisconsin made one of two of those free throws, and as the game came down to the wire, it wound up going into overtime, so you can at least make a case. Of course, you never know what would have happened, although a technical foul, the game is stopped, obviously, takes away from what's going on the court. But Wisconsin did make one of those two free throws, and the game was tied at the end of regulation. Now, Michigan State had a better chance to win down the stretch. Draymond Green was fouled. He had two foul shots. He missed them both. So Wisconsin was down 3 with 10 seconds left, and they ran a play for Jordan Taylor, their high scorer, their best shooter, their best player. He had 28 points, but he takes a 3 near the buzzer, an air ball, but Ryan Evans of Wisconsin, seeing it was an air ball, grabbed the ball underneath, dribbled out to the 3-point line, took a turnaround bank shot at the buzzer. The bank shot goes in to seemingly tie up the game, but of course the refs now review all of these plays. They reviewed this play and determined, and it was very interesting because if, again, you saw, watch the game or saw the highlights, the clock above the scoreboard said 0-0-0. The clock in the arena, not above the scoreboard, said 0-0.2. But it's the clock on the scoreboard that rules. The refs looked at it 6 or 7 times, called off the basket, said it was too late, so Michigan State gets the win. Michigan State 63, Wisconsin 60. Obviously, Bo Ryan very upset after the game. But if the rule is, and apparently that is the rule, that the shot clock rules over the game, the clock that's up in higher up in the stands on the scoreboards, not above the scoreboard, but the bigger scoreboard in the arena. Clearly, they were different, and clearly the one right above the basket said 0-0-0 before the ball left Evans' hand. So Michigan State gets out with a good win over a good Wisconsin team. Michigan State 63, Wisconsin 60. Ohio State playing Nebraska. Nebraska not a very good team this year. Ohio State drops down to number 7 now. Sullinger's been in and out of the lineup. They've had a couple of losses, including recently to Indiana. Yesterday, though, Ohio State buries Nebraska 71-40 in Columbus. Jared Sollinger, 19 points, 11 rebounds. Ohio State has now won 35 in a row at home. Obviously, they're, you know, I picked them to win the national championship. They're going to be a contender as long as they can stay healthy. They bury Nebraska last night. Number 14, Florida, goes to 12-3. They beat UAB 79-61. One UAB note, if you're around long enough, you know that Gene Bartow was best known for succeeding John Wooden at UCLA. Never really had a whole lot of success there. Did go to the Final Four the next year, but did not win a national championship. Of course, at UCLA, success is defined by national championships. obviously Wooden won 8 in a row and 10 overall. But Gene Bartow died yesterday of stomach cancer at the age of 81. He was a lot more than just the guy who replaced John Wooden. And again, if you've been around a while, you know what a key factor he was in the creation of the basketball program of the University of Alabama at Birmingham, UAB, a pretty good program over the years. Bartow was its first athletic director. He started the basketball program at UAB, the D1 program there. He coached at a number of other schools, but he's best known for replacing John Wooden, but should be best known for starting the program at UAB and being its first athletic director. He passes away yesterday of stomach cancer at the age of 81. One other basketball game, Madison Square Garden. Number 12, Louisville beat St. John 73-58 at the Garden. Going to be a long year for St. John's. They just, you know, Lavin still recovering from that prostate cancer surgery. He had it on October 6th. He tried to come back. He coached a few games. Yesterday he was watching up in one of those luxury boxes at the Garden, but unable to coach on a day-to-day basis so far. He lost three of his recruits. St. John's just going to have a lot of trouble competing in the Big East. Louisville, 17 points from Russ Smith. They're a very good team, ranked 12th in the country. Louisville, 73. St. John's, 58. We're going to get to the NHL for a couple of minutes, but first, one soccer note. Obviously, we don't do a lot of soccer, but it looks like David Beckham is going to come back to the LA Galaxy. You know, he came over, was injured early on, led the league in assists this year as the LA Galaxy became the Major League Soccer champs. He is going to be allowed to play for England in the Olympics. That's a big deal, obviously. But it looks like all signs right now are pointing to Beckham coming back. And again, if you've been through the Pelé era, now the Beckham era, you know, these guys come over, they do cause a buzz, the women's soccer team. But it doesn't seem that soccer as a professional sport really catches hold in the U.S. But certainly if Beckham is around, and he certainly has helped soccer in the L.A. area, like Gretzky helped hockey in the L.A. area. And if he comes back, that'll be great for United States soccer. But Beckham will play in the Olympics for England next year, and it looks like he's going to come back to the L.A. Galaxy. A few games to talk about in the National Hockey League. Calgary goes into Washington. Jerome McGinley, great player, looking for his 500th goal. He has 499. He didn't get it yesterday. But the Capitals playing better since the coaching change now. They beat Calgary yesterday 3-1. Alex Ovechkin scores his 17th goal of the year. He's kind of back on track now after a slow start. He's got 7 goals in his last 7 games. Washington has now won 4 games in a row. Washington 3, Calgary 1. Curtis Glencross got his 16th from McGinley for Calgary, but that was the only goal Calgary could muster. 3-1 Washington. Vokoun gets the winning goal for the Capitals. Another interesting game, Detroit against the Dallas Stars in Dallas. Detroit gets 2 goals from Yuri Hudler, his 10th and 11th of the year. Dallas comes back to tie it in the third period, 4-4 with a Michael Ryder goal. Ryder scores his 16th of the year. But then with about 8 minutes left, Johan Franzen on a pass from Pavel Datsyuk scores his 16th of the year, which proved to be the game winner as Ryder came back with 1 more goal, scored his 17th of the year. Detroit 5, Dallas 4. Again, the Red Wings have so many of these players. I mean, you know, they still have Zetterberg, who's playing at a high level, 3 assists yesterday. Hudler's a good player. Franzen's a very good player. I mean, they're just, you know, Jimmy Howard's a very good goalie. The Red Wings will always be a factor, but Dallas is a very good team, obviously, as well. A few other games in the National Hockey League yesterday. The Sabres beat the Oilers 4-3. Pominville gets his 13th of the year. The Blues beat the Coyotes 4-1. Oshie gets his 13th goal of the year. Berglund gets his 9th of the year. The Maple Leafs pound the Lightning 7-3. Lupul gets his 18th of the year. Phil Kessel gets his 22nd. St- Steven Stamkos gets his league-leading 27th goal of the year, but Toronto wins 7-3. The Islanders beat the Hurricanes 4-3. Matt Molson, a very good player for the Islanders, gets his 18th of the year. Okposo gets his 7th. LaRose gets his 10th for Carolina. Islanders 4, Carolina 3. TV tonight, lots of basketball on NBA TV as a doubleheader. The Wizards at Orlando to play Dwight Howard and the Magic. The Rockets at the Clippers at 10 o'clock following the first game. Again, interesting game. Clippers, obviously, an interesting team to watch now with Paul at the point guard position. Bobcats at the Knicks, 7:30 Eastern if you get MSG, which, again, I'm told is pretty much national now. Hockey game on the new NBC Sports Network, which used to be versus the defending Stanley Cup champions Boston Bruins playing the New Jersey Devils. Football, if you want to keep watching the bowl games, one bowl game tonight, the Orange Bowl, West Virginia against Clemson. A couple of college basketball games as well. Duke at Temple, 7 o'clock Eastern, ESPN2. I'm sorry, the West Virginia-Clemson game, the football game, is 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Duke at Temple, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. And Marquette at Georgetown, ESPNU. Georgetown, pretty good team this year. That'll be a good game as well. Duke, of course, a top five team, as always. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.